We've heard First Take.
I mean, it's just pathetic, but it's predictable.
We've heard your take.
You have to take care of the people and the athletes. Consider them more important than the money.
Now it's time for Jason's Take, exclusively on the First Take Your Take podcast.
I'm Jeff Dickerson, sitting in for Jason Fitz on this Monday, presented by Progressive Insurance. We'll talk a lot about Eagles head coach Doug Peterson testing positive for COVID-19 and the fallout at the Eagles facility. That's coming up in a matter of minutes, but right now it's time for some headlines that you need to know. A group including actor and former WWE star Dwayne The Rock Johnson has agreed to purchase the XFL for approximately $15 million. Washington State coach Nick Rolovich told wide receiver Cassidy Woods that aligning with the Pac-12 player unity group would create, quote, an issue with the program. That's according to a phone call Saturday obtained by the Dallas Morning News. And the New Orleans Saints have rented out 4 floors of a hotel in downtown New Orleans to create an optional bubble-like atmosphere for players, coaches, and staff as training camp gets underway. Don't forget to listen to ESPN Audio at Home via your smart speaker. ESPN Audio at Home, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out how far an extra mile really goes. From customization and service to financial assistance, Mercedes-Benz Vans are ready for anything. First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio, ESPN News. I'm Jeff Dickerson, again filling in today for Jason Fitz. And certainly concerning news broke over the weekend in Philadelphia as Eagles head coach Doug Peterson has tested positive for the coronavirus. He told the team after a second positive test. Now, the good news is that Peterson is asymptomatic. He made some comments today that he has great energy, he feels fine, and he has a lot of faith in the safety protocols the Eagles have at their facility. But, of course, in light of everything that's going on in Major League Baseball with the Marlins and the Cardinals, could be bad news again today with St. Louis awaiting more test results from over the weekend. It has to be a little concerning that a head coach has already tested positive. It's just August 3rd, and real practicing won't get underway at training camps across the league until August 12th to August 17th. However, this morning on First Take, it was Stephen A. and Lewis Riddick. And Stephen A. said despite the positive test, Stephen A. is not concerned about the NFL season.
I'm not one of those people who believes that the NFL season is in trouble, regardless of the griping and the complaining that we're hearing from players for the most part. It's not that their complaints are not legit. The NFL definitely needs to be on top of things. Safety measures, safety protocols need to be at the top of the list. We all get that. We all understand that. But in the end, this is big business, and those owners and the league itself are not going to lose billions upon billions of dollars. And the reason why I emphasize, particularly in a sport like the NFL, Lewis, is because injuries occur all the time. Now, obviously, this is far more, this is potentially more deadlier than an injury, and we do understand that. I'm just pointing that out, the injury perspective, that is because if there is a league that is accustomed to going on next man up, having that kind of mentality, it's the National Football League. Guys get hurt every week. They're missing games every single week. These are the kind of things that happen. Now, is there more that the National Football League can do and needs to do? Absolutely. I think there should be a bubble kind of atmosphere, but not similar to the NBA, for example. I'm not saying that everybody should be in one place, but just like you show up to training camp and you are at an NFL facility, a team facility, I think you should be restricted to that during the NFL season, and then you can work out visitation on the part of family members and things of that nature. Something to upgrade the level of safety that needs to obviously be implemented. But in the end, I think that the NFL is thinking of it from the standpoint that there is no preseason that has been canceled. And as a result, we've got some time to get our bearings under us, because every single day we keep hearing something new about the coronavirus and what things have been transpiring, where the spikes are, where they're not occurring, some of the practices and the protocols that have been implemented, what's working effectively, what is not, et cetera, et cetera. And I think right now they're buying their time, so that they're trying to wait for the last minute possible to institute whatever's necessary so once the regular season begins, you don't have to worry about it being interrupted. I think that's their intent. I think that's their goal. I think that they're going to be pretty much fixed on that. And I don't think that anything outside of literally government interference, where we've got the medical professionals and the federal government collaborating to shut down the sport, I literally believe that is the only thing that will stop this sport from moving forward and starting its regular season on time and, dare I say, completing it. That's how I view things.
Yeah, I by and large agree 100% with you, Stephen A. And let me just start off by saying, look, from what I hear, Doug Peterson right now is not experiencing any symptoms. He's doing real well, and look, he's a good friend of mine, someone who I respect immensely. But it is serious. It makes you sit up and take notice and say, hey, look, these are the kind of things that member clubs were worried about. These are the kind of things that they expected, but when it happens, it really does, it kind of takes your breath away for a minute, and you go, okay, hey, let's just figure out and make sure everything's going okay here, and that he is going to be okay long term, you know, before we just dismiss it and go, hey, well, it's just one person. Well, you know, Doug Peterson carries a lot of weight in this league. This is a Super Bowl winning coach, and we're talking about an individual's life and their long-term health, so that is a big deal. That being said, I think the individual clubs are doing a good job, at least, you know, according to what I have heard and the people who I talk to, as far as continuing to perfect and kind of really dial in on these procedures and protocols and really keep everyone's feet to the fire as far as doing the right thing. This is a season about trust, Molly, Stephen A. It really is, more so than any other season, a season about trust, not just what you do in the building and on the football field, but in particular what you're doing away from the football field. And the league is going to great lengths to not only educate the players and the coaches and the football staff, but they're going to great lengths to really educate their families, allow their families the opportunity to ask questions about what exactly is in place as far as procedures for my loved ones who are actually coming into the facilities and playing this sport. What procedures are in place to protect them? What procedures do I need to be following at home in order to protect myself and my loved one that is participating in the NFL? And there are some absolutely, you know, just tremendous, tremendous trainers and doctors who are working day and night to try and make sure that this stays on track. They are prepared, though. They know there's going to be positives. They know that there could potentially be more opt-outs. They know that they have to have contingency plans, not only for if the head coach gets sick like Doug Peterson got sick, but if offensive coordinators, quarterback coaches, trainers, support staff, if those people get sick, who is next in line? If the GM got sick, if the director of player personnel got sick, the pro director, the college director, they're having to prepare for so many different contingencies, and it is a huge, huge undertaking. But they are committed to trying to make this work. They are committed to making sure that they are testing regularly and making sure as soon as something crops up, they're able to contain it so it doesn't just go widespread and just derail the whole thing. Because Stephen A. is right. There is a lot of money at stake, a lot of money. And I know we don't like to really reference that in the middle of a pandemic, but that's just the way it is. That's really what it is. It's big business, just like it's big business in college. That's why this stuff continues to be pushed forward, because people could stand to lose a lot of money if it doesn't get played. So in the NFL, I know in particular, in my area that I know the most people, they're doing everything they can. The players have a right to question everything that's being done. The players have a right, like, you know, like Devin McCourty just said the other day, to have enough time to make informed decisions about whether they need to opt out. And the NFL needs to be respectful of that. They need to work together. That's the key going forward to this season in order to keep it on track. The players union and the owners need to work together. You cannot be butting heads about things going into this season. You just can't, especially not on this issue.
And rules have to be followed too. Louis Riddick, Stephen A. this morning on First Take. It's First Take, your take. It's ESPN Radio, ESPN News. I'm Jeff Dickerson sitting in. Straight Talk Wireless has the full court cell phone coverage you need. Just $45 a month gets you the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G for up to 50% less than the big carriers, only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. Our Tim McManus, who covers the Eagles for ESPN, was all over this Doug Peterson story this weekend. Tim is with me now on the Shell Pennzoil performance line. Tim, thanks so much. I know it's a busy time for you. So I guess the first question is, all right, Doug Peterson has tested positive, two positive tests. He has to be away now from the team, except for virtual stuff. So how is it going to work, Tim? Now, what's the plan for the Eagles going forward while Peterson has to be away?
good to be with you, JD, first of all. And right now they do have a contingency plan in place that they had mapped out before this happened. And part of that is having Deuce Staley, so he's the running backs coach and the assistant head coach, be in charge of the day-to-day operations at the NovaCare facility. Because there is a virtual element still to this deal, Doug Peterson is going to be able to lead virtually. We just got off of a teleconference call with him, and he said that he's feeling really good and he's still able to be engaged and being asymptomatic, being able to still lead this team in terms of virtual meetings, being in contact with over the phone with Staley, et cetera. But Staley will take care of the day-to-day operations as the Eagles start to ramp up into this period where now they can get onto the field, do more conditioning, do some walkthroughs. Staley will be ahead of that.
Is there any timetable, Tim, given as to when maybe Peterson could return?
So he said specifically today that he wasn't going to give himself a timetable, just like he doesn't give his players a timetable as they're returning from injury. What we know in terms of the protocol is that a coach or player or any member of the organization has to be away for 10 days or has to pass two COVID tests within a span of 5 days. And so that's really what we're looking at. The earliest at this point would be 4 or 5 days until he can return. But I'm sure that the Eagles will be as cautious as possible when it comes to this. I mean, certainly they don't want to rush anything back, and they're going to be making sure that they have everything buttoned up before Peterson returns to work.
Tim McManus does a great job covering the Philadelphia Eagles for ESPN. He's our guest on First Take Your Take. It's ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I hate to say this, Tim, but, you know, as we've seen in baseball, I mean, the Marlins had, what, 4 tests initially, right? And then that went up to 9 positives, and then that went up to over 20 positives. And in St. Louis, there's concern the Cardinals could be facing something more severe. Is there a concern that with Peterson testing positive that more people in the building might have been exposed?
There's always that possibility. One staffer has been sent home because he was in close contact with Peterson in the building, and that was Press Taylor, who is the quarterback's coach and the pass game coordinator. So far, he's tested negative for the virus, and so that's good. But to your point, sometimes those negative tests can happen for a couple of days. In fact, that was my understanding of what happened with Peterson is after initial exposure, he apparently had passed a couple of these tests before finally testing positive. And so that's where this virus gets tricky. And and so, yes, I think that there is a concern that they feel like, I feel like the Eagles feel like, number one, that Peterson contracted the virus outside of the organization, outside of the building. So I think that's one plus from that perspective. But of course, he was in the building. There's people around it. And so, as we've seen, it's a very contagious virus. And so there has to be some level of concern.
I know none of us in the media are allowed inside these buildings at this point, Tim. But have you had a chance yet to maybe speak to the Eagles infection control officer, or just get an idea from the organization, kind of what are the safety protocol steps they have taken inside the building now with all the players coming back to work?
Sure. And so they've expanded the locker room a little bit where they had an auxiliary room where they have more locker stalls there. Every other locker is where players are now instead of right next to each other to try to get that social distancing. They've gone to more virtual meetings, so they don't have to have a lot of people gathered in one spot as much as possible. They'll do their work at the facility, then they'll send them home. Of course, there's the screening checks before you get into the building. There's the daily testing. The cafeteria no longer has has seats in there. All the staffers go to their respective offices. Every coach has been given their own office. And so there's all those types of measures. And Peterson just last week said that he felt extremely safe being in the NovaCare facility, and then reiterated that today, even though he contracted the coronavirus, although it was supposed to be outside of the building, apparently, where he contracted it. But he maintains that he still believes it's a very safe place to work.
Tim McManus joining us on First Take Your Take. Jeff Dickerson in for Jason Fitz, ESPN Radio and ESPN News. What has been the message that the Eagles, Tim, have given the players how to behave when they're away from the facility? Because I agree. I think the NFL is doing a good job with the facilities as far as social distancing and mask wearing and doing their best to put all these protocols in place. But when a player leaves the facility, I think that's where it gets tricky. Have you guys had a chance to talk to Peterson and some of the Eagles about what that message may be?
Yes, and so it's pretty straightforward in terms of, you know, just be smart about it, recognize that your behavior affects not just you, but other people, you know, and do the same things that we've been hearing over and over again over the last few months of, you know, make sure you're doing proper hygiene, make sure that you're wearing a mask, make sure that you're limiting exposure as much as possible. But one thing that I can tell you is that, like the Saints, as an example, as it was reported today, they have their own kind of like training camp bubble going on where everybody's in a common hotel, whereas the Eagles are giving veterans the option of whether to go to the team hotel or whether to go back with their families. And so the bottom line here is that you can be as diligent as possible, and Peterson is evidence of this, and yet you can still contract the virus. And when you're operating without a bubble, as the NBA is, then you are just going to be exposed to other people. And so it becomes just a massive undertaking for the NFL with the amount of people that it takes to have that operation go, with the amount of contact that the sport demands of keeping everybody COVID-free is just a huge task.
Have they given you an indication about how many players have said they are going to utilize that bubble-like hotel?
They didn't give a number, but it sounds like the rookies are going to be in that one. And then it's just a matter of preference for the veterans. And so you can probably guess it's probably going to be a 50-50 split.
Yeah. Tim, great stuff. Outstanding work on the story all weekend. Keep up the great work. We'll talk soon, my friend, okay?
All right, brother. Always a pleasure.
All right, Tim McManus covers the Eagles for ESPN, joining us here on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And the problem, again, with what's taking place in Philadelphia and what will, I'm sure, take place in other markets across the NFL is, you know, I had a presentation I was in with the Chicago Bears, what they were doing in their facility. We spoke with their infection control officer, who's also their head trainer, Andre Tucker, and it was, I thought, very interesting stuff. I mean, the Bears have a bit of an edge here because they just had a brand new renovation done. So there are a lot of places for these people to be. There's a lot of square footage. I cover the Bears for ESPN, like Tim McManus covers the Eagles for ESPN. So the Bears have the edge of having the space to spread out. And because everything is new, they were able to install a lot more technology as far as, like, you know, touchless doors. You know, you don't have to, you scan your badge and the door's open and no one ever has to touch a doorknob or a door or anything. They have a brand new cafeteria. They have brand new everything. So in that regard, and they're going to have their meetings in their enormous indoor practice facility as opposed to their auditorium, which is actually a pretty big size and brand new anyways. But they're going to really make sure that everyone is spread out. The masks are on. You cannot be in the building without a mask on, which is how it's supposed to be, how it should be. But the problem is, and the question always is, okay, it's twofold. Number one, what happens when the players leave the facility and they're out of your control? You know, a lot of these players, obviously, you know, they support some family members. They have large, you know, numbers of people living in their house, as you can completely understand. So you can be as careful as possible, but if everyone else around you doesn't have the same level of diligence, that's when mistakes happen. That's when lapses happen, and that's when the virus can unwittingly infect your family and those close to you, and then it spreads. So you don't know what's going to happen when they leave the building. That's one. And number two, we are still a couple weeks away from there actually being contact, from there actually being padded practices where players are hitting one another. Football is just not a sport that lends itself to social distancing when you're playing on the field. They did send out Oakley the face shields to all the teams to look at maybe installing that with your helmet, not just the eye visor, but also down to the mouth. Now, that's going to be optional. That's not mandatory. And who knows how many players are going to take up that offer and wear those. So we're in this weird time right now where people are getting reacclimated in the NFL. I think teams are doing their absolute best to follow the safety protocols. The buildings are up to code. But when players leave, it's sometimes out of your control. And then when the actual football starts, the hitting starts, that's when things can get very difficult because, again, football is a sport that's physical. Look at all these people opting out right now. Most of these players so far that have opted out of the NFL season, if you look, they're like offensive linemen and defensive linemen. They're face-to-face. They're nose-to-nose. They're spitting on each other, you know, yelling at each other, breathing on each other. It's just not a sport where you can stay separated and do so very successfully. So I applaud the Eagles and all these organizations for trying to put these safety measures in place. But ultimately, is it going to work? I don't know. But coming up, we'll ask, how comfortable would you be playing in the current NFL coronavirus protocol? We'll ask a former QB next. But first, wasn't it thrilling to see guys back out on the court over the weekend? Well, if that isn't enough excitement for you, DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports, is offering you a shot at a share of millions of dollars every day this week. If you haven't tried it yet, fantasy basketball is easy to play. Just pick 8 players, stay under the salary cap, and pile up points for three-pointers, rebounds, assists, and more. There's no better way to put your basketball knowledge to the test than to compete for a share of millions of dollars. But if basketball isn't for you, don't worry. DraftKings is offering plenty of fantasy golf action for this week's major. Get in on the action before the golfers tee off on Thursday for a shot at a $1 million top prize. Download the DraftKings app now and use promo code FITS to get a shot at millions of dollars in prizes every day this week. That's promo code FITS to get a shot at millions of dollars in prizes every day this week, only at DraftKings. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Coming up next with more First Take, Your Take, it's ESPN Radio and ESPN News. It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. I'm Jeff Dickerson, sitting in for my friend Jason Fitz. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. So much happening right now in the National Football League as teams are back in the building. They're going through their safety protocols. I know rookies have been in for a while, so there have been a lot of walkthroughs. I had a chance last week to speak with a couple of players for the Chicago Bears that cover the Bears for ESPN, Mitchell Trubisky, Nick Foles, their quarterbacks. They already were doing walkthroughs with rookies. They're trying to amp up here in about a week or so. You start having some team activities, then the pads come on. You can have some fully padded contact practices around August 17th. So slowly but surely, life is kind of returning to normal in the NFL, but that certainly is a very fluid thing to say. Tim Hasselbeck is our terrific ESPN NFL analyst. He joins me on the Shell Pennzoil performance line. Tim, let's start with Doug Peterson, the announcement that he's tested positive for COVID-19. Is there any greater concern to you after hearing that news that the NFL, they're doing their best and they're trying to put all these protocols in place, but this could be a situation where you do see outbreaks among certain teams like that's taking place in Major League Baseball with the Marlins and Cardinals?
Oh, for sure, because I think, Doug Peterson isn't acting irresponsibly. I mean, I think anyone that's been around him knows that he's certainly professional in terms of how he handles his business. He's probably taken many of the precautions that have been recommended to him by, the medical staff of the Eagles and others. And so he's probably going from his house to work. He's probably not going to a bar on Broad Street or anything like that. So the fact that, he tests positive for it just kind of shows you that, even when you're trying to do the right thing, you can find yourself in this situation. And, I think if there's one kind of silver lining in it is that, these NFL teams, appear to have done a pretty good job in terms of the protocols that they are putting in place and the amount of testing that they are doing that, it maybe just minimizes the situation of having an outbreak where, boom, all of a sudden there's 15 guys that have it. I just think that, the kind of handling it the way they are, you might be without your head coach, your starting quarterback for a few weeks, but it maybe prevents you from having to just put a total pause on your operation.
Yeah, Tim, I agree with you. I think in terms of what's taking place inside facilities around the NFL, it certainly seems like people are taking this very seriously with masks and social distancing and doing the best they can with technology. I think the question becomes, what happens when the players leave the building, and I saw the report today mm-hmm. that the Saints have rented out a hotel and in downtown New Orleans, for example, and you can stay there in kind of an optional bubble-like setting for training camp. Should that be something that every NFL team does to set up a temporary or optional bubble if teams don't feel comfortable going home after they leave the building?
Well, I think there's a couple factors with that. First is we have players that have opted out with the information that they were going to be going home. So, like, if you're a player like Dante Hightower, like, maybe you made your decision to give up making nearly $9 million this year in part because you thought, like, hey, all these players are going home and I'm going home. So, like, I think if you change the game in terms of what you are doing in terms of how you're operating in a bubble or not, well, then you've got to revisit this idea of guys opting out or not because it might influence a decision. So I don't even know that you can go back on that at this point. Now, maybe you can just optionally provide it if guys, in fact, you know, would want to do that. And, look, I think, you know, you do it for training camp is one thing. Doing it for the entire season is another. I mean, let's face it. Like, we're still, you know, planning on playing football, you know, past Christmas. That's a long way away. That's longer than this has been going on, you know, in terms of a shutdown in this country. So, you know, to do that for that extended period of time, I'm not sure that the teams want to provide that option.
Tim Hasselbeck joining us on First Take, Your Take. Jeff Dickerson sitting in on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. Tim, when you get in your 40s, your perspective on life changes. I mean, you have different priorities and family obligations and stuff like that. But when you were playing, when you were in your 20s, would you have felt comfortable opting in to a season if this was the situation that you were presented with back then?
Yeah, look, I would have played. My parents are young and they're healthy, you know, especially, you know, back then, you know, when I was, you know, in my 20s. I was married, you know, healthy spouse. I started having kids, I guess, you know, kind of second or third year in the NFL. You know, that maybe would have made me a little bit nervous, but kind of with the information that we know now, you know, I probably would have been fine with it. And I'd have just looked at, you know, the window and opportunity to play, and I would have played. It's what I would have done. And I think the vast majority of players are going to feel that way, and they're going to play. And, you know, I just would say this. I mentioned this on Get Up this morning. I've talked to some former players, and it's funny that the former players' reaction, and this is really not meant to be critical of guys' decision to sit out, but former players and their reaction to guys sitting out, I think is really interesting. You know, I mean, former players kind of understand what it's like when, you know, when the music stops on your playing career, you know, the benefit that you have in terms of being, you know, we're just talking about the benefits of being in these bubbles. Like, not like everyone wants to get tested every other day, but the fact that you're getting tested and having that type of medical attention and that type of support around you in terms of how you're getting your meals when you're at the facility, look, in some ways, it's like the safest place to have a heart attack is in a hospital, you know? Like, the medical attention and care that you get in your facility is really good. And so, you know, opting out and being somewhere else and, you know, kind of then having to deal with, you know, wherever you are in that medical attention, it might not be as good for you and in many cases for your family. So, again, I understand a lot of guys are opting out for all the right reasons, but there are some guys I think that will look back at this and say, man, opting out doesn't give you immunity from getting the virus, you know, and so you could opt out and get it.
I
think guys are leaving a lot of opportunities on the table.
I agree with you, Tim. Is it easier, though, for some of these players, just because, you know, financially speaking, they might be a little more secure at this part of their life because the money is better now than it was, you know, 15, 20 years ago for even sort of the middle-tier players in the NFL?
Yeah, there's no question that there, you know, there's more financial security, especially in the, you know, in the immediacy for a lot of guys. But, like, you know, not to beat up the Hightower example, but whatever he's made, I think he's made around $40 million or something like that. That's a lot of money, like for anybody. That's a lot of money. But he's due to make nearly nine this year. $9 million is a lot of money for someone that's made $40 million. It just is. And you can run down the list of guys. I don't care if you're Philip Rivers and you've made 200. Like, he's not making 25, you know, anywhere else. So, yes, you're right. It does give guys, you know, a little bit more of a stomach to maybe say, you know what, I'm content with what I have. But that doesn't negate the fact that, you're leaving a lot of money on the table. And it's not just the money. It's also, you know, it's also just the small window of time in your life that you've got the ability to do this.
Lastly, Tim, I just want to ask you about Antonio Brown quickly. You know, if a team were to sign him now, of course he has to serve his suspension and everything, but would it be easier for a team to bring someone like that in when, you know, there's going to be no access this year, really? You know, there's going to be no media in the building. There's not going to be, you know, cameras on a guy in the locker room saying something crazy. Everything's going to be done virtually, and not every player is going to have to be available. Given these unique circumstances, could you see a team bringing him in because they think maybe it would be less of a distraction with all these parameters in place?
No, you know, I think in some ways the risk can be a little bit more just because what you're asking of guys now, you know, we were talking just a second ago about what guys do when they leave the facility. Like, I think you have to feel confident and be able to trust that you've got a mature, responsible team that's going to do the right thing, not just for themselves, but for their teammates and for their teammates' families. And so, you know, I think that would be kind of the concern I would have on Antonio Brown. But I tell you, if I was a team that had, you know, a desire to sign him, really what I would do, because he has to sign an eight game or deal with an eight game suspension, I would sign him early in the season, like after week one, so that his veteran salary isn't guaranteed. You know, so sign him week two, you know, week two or week three. Have him sit out for eight games. And then if we're still playing football, you know, whatever that is, then week, you know, 11, 12, you know, around that point, if you all of a sudden have a, you know, an outbreak in your wide receiver room, then you can tell him to get on a plane and come to your team. I mean, I just, like, to me, I think that's how you have to operate with Antonio Brown. If you're waiting for something to happen and then sign him, it's too late because he's got to serve his services suspension. So that would be how I would handle it. But I don't think it, you know, I think the concern is still there because I think you're asking more of players in this environment.
Tim, I always appreciate your great insight. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your day, okay?
Thanks, Jeff. Good to be on with you. See ya.
Tim Hasselbeck with the ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Coming up, how concerned are you that Major League Baseball will not finish the season? That's straight ahead. First Take Your Take. It's ESPN Radio, ESPN News. First Take Your Take, ESPN Radio, ESPN News, Jeff Dickerson in for Jason Fitz. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless and Major League Baseball. The games are taking place across the country. We've had a lot of postponements, though. As of Saturday, there were 17 postponements over 10 days. Concerns, of course, with the Marlins and all their positive COVID tests. St. Louis having their issues. That could get worse this week. So certainly everyone is enjoying the return of Major League Baseball, but there's always that what if in the back of your mind because of coronavirus and because it seems like some of the teams are not taking it that seriously. Here's Buster Olney, our ESPN MLB insider, was on this morning on ESPN Radio describing the latest on how MLB is dealing with COVID-19.
A lot of concern about what's going on with the St. Louis Cardinals. You know, they had their games posted over the weekend after they had some positive tests. You know, there were more tests issued to members of the Cardinals organization yesterday. The Cardinals announced that there would be more tests, and so we'll just have to wait and see, you know, today specifically where those numbers are. I do think baseball, after the disaster that happened with the Marlins last week, they're going to be more aggressive about isolating players, about doing contact tracing. You know, they're learning in the health and safety protocol as they go along. The question is, you know, baseball as an entity, how many body blows can it take before it just all unravels?
Well, as of right now, Rob Manfred, the commissioner, he told our Carl Ravitch over the weekend that he's not going to shut this down. He's not a quitter, that he has no indication, no inclination right now that he's going to stop baseball entirely. Keith Olbermann was on game day on ESPN Radio over the weekend and had this reaction to Rob Manfred's statement to Carl Ravitch.
The commissioner's statement doesn't really change anything except that it puts him in an awful spot relative to this if there are any more positive tests in baseball. And it puts him in an awful spot, particularly if the Cardinals come back with more positives in the next few days, because one thing that seems to have still eluded Mr. Manfred is that there is an incubation period between the time of exposure and the time that someone tests positive for COVID-19. Apparently, the best time to test somebody is 4 or 5 days after exposure. So if the Cardinals players were exposed indeed on Wednesday, there are probably some guys who have not yet tested positive, who are positive, who will test positive tomorrow and Monday. And as to the nature of the statement, this is very similar to what he said yesterday. There's a lot of work from the commissioner's office. Yesterday was off the record, today it's on the record, putting the blame entirely on the players. And it eliminates, the more he says it, the more it tends to eliminate the fact that this was a bad plan, poorly executed, wasn't going to work, and was sort of delusional.
And I go back to really the biggest crime that Major League Baseball has committed up to this point with COVID-19 was allowing the Marlins and Phillies to play the day that four Marlins players, including their starting pitcher, had tested positive before the game. That should not be a player decision. That should not be decided via text message by a shortstop. That obviously not only exposed more Marlins to each other, it exposed the Phillies. Now, they had some more encouraging news over the weekend with some false positive results coming back. But still, unless everyone is on the same page, unless everyone is uniform, and unless everyone follows the safety protocols laid out, this is not going to work. You can't go to a casino. You can't go out for a night on the town. I'm not saying any of this happened, but these are things that you just can't do. You can't arrive at the ballpark in groups of 10. You got to wear your mask. You got to social distance. You can't jump on each other after a big play. I know it's hard to stop spinning. I know it's hard to stop slapping five. But if you want to get this under control, you got to follow the rules to the letter of the law. And that, I think, in all aspects, Major League Baseball has struggled thus far. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Jesse Rogers, who covers the MLB for ESPN, will join us next hour to discuss the latest with the Cardinals players testing positive for COVID-19. Certainly a lot of concern that there will be more positive tests in St. Louis as the Cardinals seem like they're at kind of a crossroads here. Coming up, what does a list of demands from Pac-12 players mean for college football this year? It's First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio.